Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's, of course, unexpected that I'm back here. I was not scheduled to start saying Shiurim again until next week. But in view of the fact that we are in the Shiva of Rebbetzin Wine, Olei HaShalom, I felt I would like to say a Shiur today. One of the last things that she told my wife about a week and a half ago was that she's waiting for after Shavuos when I will come back to say Shiurim. She will be sorely missed by all of us, and I hope toward the end of the Shiur we'll say another few words about her. If I'm not mistaken, this is the third time in my career that I return to the same question. And in all these years, it's a great question that I've asked, and I haven't found anybody that asks the question. It's just, it's amazing, it's staggering. The question is so good, and to my knowledge, I'm the only one who asks it. And the third time that I come to it is similar to the first and the second in the sense that it's completely different. Shiur 1 was one approach. Shiur 2 was a second approach. This one, Shiur 3, completely different approach. It's a Shiur about the Haftorah of this past Shabbat, which was the Haftorah of Mochar Chodesh. The Haftorah of Mochar Chodesh. We'll describe the whole background to the Haftorah, and then we'll ask the great question. But of course it's about David and Yonatan. I remember very clearly the first time I said the Shiur was approximately 18 or 19 years ago in my shul in Har Nof. It was Parshas Mishpatim. And one of the women in shul who lived next door to the shul had given birth to twin boys. And I remember it was very cold that Shabbos Yishul. We didn't have the heat working yet. And I said a Shiur on David and Yonatan. When I was sandig for one of the babies later that week, I was surprised to find that the one I was holding was then named David. And do you know what the other one was named? Very good, very good. You figured it out. The other one is Yonatan. The twins, David and Yonatan. And it was inspired by this Shiur. Did anything exciting happen from the second time I said it? I don't remember. But this is the third and a different approach. Let me tell you what the question is. On the sheet in front of you, you have a great deal of the end of chapter 19 in Shmuel, the beginning of chapter 20, until the pasuk, the second pasuk that's underlined, is the first pasuk of the Haftorah. The Haftorah begins by Yomer lo Yehonatan. Yehonatan said to him, to David, Mochar Chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, v'nifkadeto, you will be missed, ki yitokeid moshavecho, because the seat where you are will be empty. Alright? Now I'm going to ask one simple question. Why do we read this Haftorah when Sunday is Rosh Chodesh? Alright, you weren't afraid. Everybody thought that I was asking some kind of a trick question. You're absolutely right. Because it says Machar Chodesh. Okay? That tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. Great. This Haftorah happens to be my classic proof to something that I said every 6-7 years when I give Shiurim on the Haftorah. I always cautioned you. Don't ever think that the simplest and most obvious reason for the Haftorah is really the reason for the Haftorah. The Haftorah was not chosen because, isn't that cute? Today is Shabbos. Tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. We have a place in Tanakh where it says tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. You put the two together. It's a winner. It's so cute. This Haftorah is the classic proof that that's absolutely wrong. Chazal never chose a Haftorah because it's cutesy-wootsy. Never. There always has to be a profound reason. How is this Haftorah proof of this idea that I have said in all the Haftorahs of the year? Because if you go back 13 psukim in that chapter, in chapter 20, you will see what's underlined in the first column. It's pasuk 5 in the same chapter. Vayomer David el Yonatan. David said to Yonatan, Hinei Chodesh Machar. Behold, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. I ask the question that I have not yet seen anybody who asks. Why didn't our rabbis begin the Haftorah 13 psukim earlier? And what you would have accomplished is, number one, you would have the first place in all of Tanakh where it says tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Number two, you would have the two places in all of Tanakh where it says that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. If we're talking about the cutesy reason that it's chosen because it says in Tanakh tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, it should have started with the first pasuk. It's a great question. But it doesn't start there. Our rabbis knew of the existence of pasuk 5. So why did they begin the Haftorah with pasuk 18, Vayomer lo Yonatan, Macha Chodesh? Wouldn't it have been far more significant to begin with the first pasuk, a pasuk said by David? It's such a great question. I'm surprised that the world doesn't ask it. So I imagine this was left, heaven left it to me to be the one to deal with this question. All right? Why? Why? The approach that I'm going to take today is going to require our doing a little reading of what precedes that day. David and Yonatan had met on Erev Rosh Chodesh. David says to Yonatan, behold, Chodesh Machar, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. By Yomelo Yonatan, Yonatan said to him, Machar Chodesh. By the way, this is of course extremely significant. There's a big difference between Hinei Chodesh Machar and Machar Chodesh. Hinei always represents, behold, something fascinating, something amazing. Haftah, surprise, Hinei, behold. We've talked about the word Hinei a number of times. Yaakov Avinu sleeps. The Hinei, and behold, he sees a ladder going up to the very heaven. And Hinei, and behold, there are angels going up and down the ladder. Hinei, David seems to be talking about something that's unusual and exceptional. And when you could say something in one of two ways in Tanakh, you could say Chodesh Machar or Machar Chodesh. Whenever you can say anything in one of two ways, the first word is always the one on which the emphasis is placed, and the second word is secondary. David says Chodesh. There are new things, great new things. Machar, tomorrow. David is saying, Yonatan is saying, oh, Machar. Wait, Machar, tomorrow. Something new. and we'll see the big difference between the two. In order to understand where each one of them is coming from, because there's clearly a big difference in the mindset of David and Yonatan. They're coming from different places. They have different experiences. They may even be living in different time frames. But I have to explain it. So now, we're going to start at the beginning. We don't have to read it all, but just as I always tell you, let your fingers move along as we describe what's happening. Shaul wants to kill David. David goes and flees to home. His wife Michal says, "You cannot stay here. He's going to come after you." Classic story. She lets him down imagine they tie sheets together. Isn't this the way they're always supposed to do it? And he goes climbing out the back window. Meanwhile, she puts in his bed blankets and pillows so it looks as though there's somebody there. Now, let's begin to read. Vayishlach Shaul, El HaMalachim, Shaul sent the messengers, David Lemot, to see David, saying, Harlu al Tov HaMitai, Laila HaMitov. Because Michal had said to the first messengers that were sent that David can't come because he's sick. So Shaul says, bring him in the bed to me, and we're going to kill him. Vayahu HaMalachim, the messengers came, and behold, Hatrofim el Amita, you know what was in the bed? There was no David in the bed. There were all sorts of objects in the bed that made it look like somebody. Ukvir ha'izim merash, by his head there was a piece of goat skin that looked like hair. I only show Michal. Shaul says to his daughter Michal, Lama kachar mi tini, why have you deceived me? That shalchia doivi. You sent away my enemy by Imolate, and he saved himself. I told him, Michal, Shaul, who am I lying? Shalcheni, lomar mitech. He said to me, send me away. Why should I kill you? Pretty interesting over here. You know, what happens if there's a conflict between Kibud Av and kibud husband? You know what our luck is? Kibud husband comes first. And here she even says that he threatened to kill me. But David barak by Malay, David fled and he got away. Where does he go? By Yomel Shmuel Haramata, he came to Shmuel. Shmuel is the one who had already anointed him to be the next king. Shaul doesn't know it. He comes to Shmuel in Ramah. He tells him everything that Shaul had done to him. Vayelechu Shmuel, Vayeshu bin Nayot. He and Shmuel went, and they sat down in Nayot. But you got to Shaul Leimor. Watch what's going to happen. Shaul is told, behold, David is in Nayot. Nayot b'Ramah. Rama is the name of the place where Shmuel lived. We're not so sure what this Nayot place is. Anyway, Vayishlach Shaul Malachim, Shaul sent messengers to take David. Vayared Lakat HaNeviim Nidim. They saw in the area around Shmuel there was a congregation of prophets who were saying prophecy. Shmuel Omeid Nitzav Aleihem, and Shmuel is standing above them. And you know what happens? The messengers of Shaul who have come to arrest David begin to say prophecy. They forget completely why they've come. They've come to arrest the fugitive. And it says, Vatihi al Malachei Shaul, Ruach Elokim, the Spirit of God came down upon the messengers of Shaul, Vayit Nabu Kaheim, they also said prophecy. Vayagidu Shaul, they told Shaul. They're not going to bring David back. By Yishlach Malach Machiris, he's with another group of officers. By Nabu Gam Hema. This is a this is an epidemic, you understand. It's catching. They also begin to say prophecy. By Yosef Shaul, by Yishlach Malachim Shlishim, Yosef Shaul went again and he sent a third group of messengers. By Nabuchadnezzar, they also began to say prophecy. Shaul himself goes to Ramah. His enemy is there. He knows that David is there. He came to the big pit near Sechu. He asks, where are Shmuel and David? Whoever it is that answers, gives the answer, Binayot. He made Binayot Barama. He went to this Nayod Barama. By the way, wherever it says Nayod, it's spelled one way and it's read another way. He comes to Nayod Barama. You know what happens to Shaul? The Spirit of God comes upon him. Shaul, King of Israel, is walking and saying prophecy until he comes to Nayot Ramah. He removed his garments, his royal raiments. He also is saying prophecy in the presence of Shmuel. All that day and all that night he was naked. And we say naked, we mean he was like a commoner. No robes of royalty. How can Yomru? Therefore they say, Hagam Shaul Manivim. Shaul also one of the Nevi'im. What an amazing story. Something happened there in Nayot Brahma. Something unusual happened. So first you have to see what the Gemara says. Take a look at number 2 on the left hand side of the page. Dorash Rava. Rava learned my Nechtiv. What does it mean when it says Vayelechu Shmuel Vayeshu Benayot Ramah? What does it mean that he, David, went with Shmuel and they sat at Nayot Ramah? V'chi ma inyan Nayot Eitzol Ramah? Nayot is one place, Ramah is another place. What's Nayot doing near Ramah? So the Gemara says Nayot is not the name of the place. Nayot means something completely different. El Shoyu Yoshim V'Ramah. They were sitting in Ramah, which was the city of Shmuel, the Oskin b'noyo shel olam. And you know what they were involved in? An otherworldly topic, the beauty of the world. They were talking about the beauty of the world. Can you imagine? The fugitive, David, his life is in absolutely grave danger. But he and Shmuel now inhabit a completely different sphere. What is the beauty of the world? Rashi says, "Linso makom lebet habechira min haTorah." Where will the Bet HaMikdash be built? Do you understand what's going on that night? Is this an unusual night? Or is it an unusual night? Rabbi Huna, the son of Rabbi Yossi, says, "Ba'otoh halayla shebarach David milifnei Shaul, from that night." That David fled from before Shaul. Lomad mi Shmuel hanavi. He learned from Shmuel the prophet. Mashein talmid vatik lameid lemei ashana. What an exceptional student will not learn in 100 years. David learned in that night. Is this a night of mystery? Is this a night of sanctity? Is it possible to say that this is a night on which heaven and earth meet? Where do heaven and earth meet? Haravayit, Bet HaMikdash. That's what they're involved in. Shaul and all of his messengers are so swept up in the sanctity, the aura, the mystery, the heavenly atmosphere. David is forgotten. Let's go further. By Yivrach David, this is the beginning of chapter 20. The Haftorah comes from chapter 20. By Yivrach David, Min Hayot Beramah, David fled from Hayot Beramah, Vayavu Vayomu Lefnei Yonatan, And he comes before Yonatan and he says, Me'a siti, what have I done? Me'a roniu macha tatilis ne'avicha. What sin, what wrong have I done before your father? King of Akeshet, not she. He seeks my life. Yonatan, what does your father want from me? Yonatan told him, Chalila, God forbid, lo tamud, you shall not die. He named Lo Yatsa Vi Davar Gadola Davar Katon Lo Yigleh Vazni. My father won't do anything big or small without revealing it to my ears. Umadua Yastir Avi Mimen. Why should my father conceal it from me? Et Hatovra said this thing. Ainzot. Can't be. Yonatan simply refuses to believe that his father may want to kill the one friend whom he loves more than any other. Can't be. By Yeshua, old David, David swore and he said, Yodoa Yoda Avicha, your father knows. Ki matzati chen beinecho, that I have found favor in your eyes. Vayome, and your father's obviously said, Al Yeda Zod Yonatan, Yonatan shall not know what I plan. Pen ye yatsei, lest he will become depressed. Vulam Chaya Shemdechei Navshech, I swear by God, I swear by your life. Ki kefesa beini ubei hamavet. There's one step between me and death. Vayom Yonatan, or David Yonatan said to David, Matoma Navshecha ve'esela. Whatever you want, I will do for you. And here we come to Pasuk 1. The Pasuk that is not used as the beginning of the Haftarah. V'ayom et David el Yonatan, David said to Yonatan, Hinei Chodesh Bahar. Hinei Chodesh Bahar. And I would usually sit with the king at the Seudat Rosh Chodesh, but I'm not going to be there and you're going to question your father. Okay. We don't start the Haftarah here. 13 psukim later, Pasuk 18, V'ayom et David, Vayoma lo Yonatan. Yonatan said, Mocha Chodesh. So I'm going to tell you the following. David and Yonatan inhabit two completely different spheres. David has just lived through a night that was heaven. Heaven. A night of prophecy, a night of seeing the heights of this world. Let's take a look at number 4. Rabbi Yemi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel b'Rav Yitzchak Megillat Beit Hamikdash Shemosar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Ba'Amida. There was a Megillah called the Megillah of the Beit Hamikdash, where the plans for the Beit Hamikdash were written by God Himself. And here we're told something that's so amazing. What God gave to Moshe as Moshe was standing, Shenema, as it says, Vatopo Amodi Madi, you Moshe, God says, stand here with me. Not only is he receiving Torah from God, he's receiving Megillat Beit HaMikdash. Omad Moshe Umasoro Yoshua Yosh. Moshe stood and he gave it over to Yoshua as Yoshua is standing. Omad Yoshua Masoro Lezakenim Bamida. Yoshua is the one as he's standing. Because there's great sanctity and significance to the moment that the Megillat Beit HaMikdash is transmitted to the elders. Omdu Zakenim Masoro Lezakenim. The elders gave it over to the Nevi'im Bamida as they are standing. Undo Nevi'im Umesorua le David Ta'amida. Omar David Umesorua le Shlomo Beno Ta'amida. David is going to give it to his son Shlomo. That night, the night before this fateful meeting between David and Yonatan, is the night on which Megillat Beit HaMikdash, which has come from God, from Sinai to Moshe, has now made its way to David. David inhabits a completely different sphere. But I'm going to tell you how far it goes. One minor chazal that is going to make the whole difference in the world. in understanding here. A Zohar. Number five, the Zohar, I believe, is the key to understanding the difference between David and Yonatan. David said this at a time when he was praising God. Five words to the Zohar. The next five words. Bishvil lechaber Hashemesh im halavana. You know what David wants to do? He wants to cause the sun to join the moon. We're going to see the significance of this. But there's one extremely significant thing. If David wants to bring sun together with moon, can there ever be an Erev Rosh Chodesh? What's Erev Rosh Chodesh? Erev Rosh Chodesh is the day in the month where the moon is not visible. 24 hours the moon is not visible. And then comes the Mola. Ah, that thin sliver of the moon, and the new moon begins. But what happens if you have sun and moon aligned with one another? There's no Erev Rosh Chodesh at all. Here is David HaMelech, who wants to unite sun with moon. Wait, if it seems strange to you, wait, we'll see exactly what the Zohar is talking about. Or let's say at least what I think the Zohar is talking about. The one thing is for sure, there cannot be an Erev Rosh Chodesh for a David who sees sun and moon being joined together. He's not seeing what we see. When he says Hinei Chodesh Machar, he's not talking about the Rosh Chodesh that we know. He's not talking about a Molech. He's talking about big, great things are coming soon. When will the sun and the moon join together? Turn over. I don't know if women say Kiddush Levana. In the bracha of Kiddush Levana, it says, "V'la'levana omar shetitchadesh atelet tiferet la'arusei boten." God said to the moon that it should be renewed and become a crown of beauty. La'amusei boten is a term that Yeshayahu uses to describe the Jewish people, the ones whom God carries in His womb. Shehem atidim lechadesh kmotah, because the Jewish people will be renewed and burst out into full glory just like the moon. The moon is representative of the Jewish people. Ulefoer liotzam, and we are going to praise the Creator. Our same kavod malchuto. That's not the whole story. Later on in Kiddush Levana we say, next, may it be the will before you, God, the God of my fathers, to fill what's missing in the moon. Nothing should be missing. You know what it means? A full moon all the time. You know where there's a full moon all the time? Because the sun and the moon are facing each other. Who wants the sun and the moon to face each other? Who does the Zohar say is working toward that? You know what David is working toward? David is working toward ultimate geula and redemption. Watch. V'hi or halavona ka'or hakama. That the light of the moon shall be like the light of the sun, ka'or shivat yimei bereshit, and like the light of the 7 days of creation. Kemosha haita, like the levona was koden mi'uta, before she was diminished in size by God. Shenema. It originally says in Torah, when they were created, et shnei hamorot hagedolim, the two big sources of light. V'yikayen bonu mikra, listen to this.
Glory of my, I never understood this as well as I understand it now.
And what will be fulfilled now is the pasuk, "Ubikshu et Hashem Elokeim veDavid Malkam." The Jewish people are going to seek out God, and they're going to seek out David. David, David is Mashiach. David is Geula. David is the great Chodosh, the great Chodesh, where there is no moon that goes through the cycle of coming to the middle of the month and then disappearing, and then on the last day of the month, on Erev Rosh Chodesh, there is no moon. Does David that day see things through human eyes, or does he see them through prophetic eyes? Do you know where David is living? David is living in the future. Because David has been given a glimpse of the future. Glimpse. His whole personality has turned into future. He's been learning with Shmuel, Masha Talmud Vosik will not learn in 100 years. He has been the one who's been entrusted with the scroll of the Beth HaMikdash that was given by God himself to Moshe, and now it's handed to him. Do you know what he sees? He sees that they are on the threshold of Chodesh. Everything is new. There's no Erev Rosh Chodesh. The sun, the moon, Shnei HaMa'oros HaGedolim. Is it any wonder that by Kiddush Levana we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom? David represents the future. David represents ultimate Gula. Yonatan is not there. Yonatan is living in the here and the now. In a certain sense, David is greater than Yonatan. But there's another significant sense in which Yonatan is far greater than David. David is greater than Yonatan, it's obvious. Because David is flying through heavenly spheres. David is Shamayim, and Yonatan is Aretz. Oh, but there is one significant respect in which Yonatan stands higher than David. After all of this was done, I had forgotten to put one Maimon Chazal onto the this sheet. There's a Gemara in Brachos that says, Kol Shalo Omer, whoever did not say Emet V'yatsid in the morning, and Emet V'emunah at night, Lo Yotso Yedei Chovato, has not fulfilled his obligation. After Kriyat Shema in the morning, we say Emet V'yatsid V'nachon V'kayam V'yosha. What do we say in Marid? Emet V'emunah. How do you know that you're supposed to do this? So the Gemara brings, Lahagid baboker chavdecha ve'emunatcha balelot. In the morning, we talk about your great chesed, your great kindness, O God. At night, we talk about faith. What does this mean? And that v'yatsid in the morning, v'yatsid means something that is established, it's done. Because in the morning, we are talking about the redemption from Egypt, it's Yom Mitzrayim, which happened. It's a fact. At night we're expressing the faith that exactly what the redemption did for us in Mitzrayim, he's going to do for us in the future. In this respect, Yonatan is greater than David. Yonatan hasn't seen the great visions that David has. He wasn't with Shmuel in Nayot B'chamah. But you know what? You know what Yonatan is? Yonatan is Ish HaEmunah. He's the man of faith. You know what Yonatan is? By Yonatan it's Erev Rosh Chodesh, and there is no moon. It's dark. He does not have visions of the future. But you know what he does have? Precisely what has kept the Jewish people going through all of history.
He has faith. An iman with a Beit Shem. Emes namuna. Emunat champa leilot. What will take Klal Yisrael through history will be Yonatan, not David. We are not privy to the experiences of David, but we can identify with Yonatan. And you know what Yonatan accomplishes therefore? I'll tell you. I said part of this in my class at this past Shabbos. I don't know why, in the middle of Kriya Satara, I sort of, it comes this thought to me, use Israeli slang. I said that David is the one who says 10 gas. Don't get your foot down on the accelerator, we're moving ahead. And you know what Yonatan is? 10 bricks. You know, this Israeli came over to me after the verse, he says, Pashut ani mevin et David the Yonatan, 10 girls, 10 bricks. Do you know what every David needs? Every David needs a Yonatan. David is there already, he sees the Geula, the base. I mean, he sees everything, I mean, everything is all finished. And then there's somebody has to come and say, wait a minute. We're going to have to go through this process step by step because you're in grave danger. Yonatan is going to tell him exactly what we're going to do. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that thing. In a sense, from the moment, Vayomelo, Yonatan said to him, Bochor Chodesh, you know who takes over? You know who takes the reins? It's Yonatan who takes the reins. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Megillas Esther. Mordechai runs out into the street by the Zakzok or Gedolo Mara. He cries out, he's demonstrating. He puts on sackcloth, he tears his garment, he has ash on his head. He comes to the palace. You gotta do something. And then there it is. At one moment, Patomer Esther says, you know what happens? From that moment on further, the Mordechai who has been crying out in the streets of Shushan becomes the faithful servant of Esther, who is going to take him every step of the way. Wait a minute. I would say now that I think of it, Mordechai is 10 karas. And you know what Esther is? Breaks. Leich Knosses, call out, you didn't gather in all of the Jews together. We're going to pray 3 days. You, I, we're going to fast. Me and my girls will do the same thing. And then I'm going to go to the king, Ashelo Kadar. And you know what Mordechai does? Everything that Esther says, he does. I would say that Mordechai is David and Esther is Yonatan. David is Hinei Chodesh Machar. Yonatan is wait, Machar. Only tomorrow will there be Chodesh. David is Shamayim, is heaven. Yonatan is Oretz. I would describe them as the following. David HaMelech is Ish Rosh Chodesh, and Yonatan is Ish Erev Rosh Chodesh. David is the Ish Rosh Chodesh, that's why I'm Rosh Chodesh, the one who is Mechaber, who joins together heaven and earth, the sun and the moon. There is no Erev Rosh Chodesh anymore. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kaya, a whole different period in history. Yonatan is the real man of Erev Rosh Chodesh. David is the man of Emet V'Yatziv because he's seen it already. He sees the whole future before him as though it happened already. But not Yonatan. Yonatan is the man of Emet Ve'una. He's the one that understands that there are going to be extremely difficult times. There will be exile, there will be suffering, there will be darkness. You know how we survive?
We survive because we don't despair. Why don't we despair? Because we have faith. Lahagid baboker chazdecha ve'emunoscha balelos. David is the man of the future. Yonatan is the man of the present. David brings sun and moon together. Yonatan is the one who realizes there will be a period of time that the moon, which is representative of the Jewish people, is going to be concealed. You know what? Every David needs a Yonatan. Every David needs a Yonatan. Chazal were brilliant. Chazal were brilliant when they decided that the Haftorah is going to begin with Vayomer. Lo Yonatan, Yonatan said, Machar Chodesh. Because that's what the Jew has to know throughout all of history. That it's dark now, but we have faith that it will become light. We have faith and trust that tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. We are not on the level of David. But it's only through a Yonatan can you ultimately arrive at a David. When the great Rosh Chodesh comes, then we're going to say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. That's when you can say it. Brilliant Chazal war. Brilliant. So that to understand this Haftorah has to be seen within its in its context. David is Shomayim and Yonatan is Oretz. So obviously the you want to say that for us it was a great covet having Rebbetzin Wine come here to learn. It's a very big covet having her. I have this feeling most probably she was the Yonatan in that relationship. I appreciate very, very much the words of encouragement she would say. A good part after the this year, there was something very regal and elegant about her, and there was a certain calm and a serenity. There's no question about it that she's going to be very sorely, sorely missed over here. And because of my appreciation, I think it's 5-6 years that she's been coming whenever they, nearly all the time, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and like such a shock, it was such a shock, so she'll be sorely missed. But she's the, she is the Yonatan. There's a certain strength that Yonatan has. Unbelievable strength. Or let's say, if we've already turned David and Yonatan into Mordechai and Esther, she is the Esther. When she takes over, there's a sense of direction. She knows what to do and she knows what to say. She was an absolutely wonderful, wonderful addition to this group, and I think that most of the people that she got to know since they came on Aliyah were all of her, the people here at Shulin. And she should be a Malitza Yosef for her husband, children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, family, and all of us over here. Chatzoneach, everybody. Look at the tefillah. In other words, there won't be any darkness anymore. The Or Hachama, the Or Lavona, is.